Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to take a few minutes this morning share with you a little bit about knowing what is best, surrendering to what is best, and then doing what is best in our life, in our decisions, how we have to train ourselves with God's help in righteousness or right living, right attitude. And there are pitfalls and hurdles, distractions that come our way. Most of them are internal. Sorry, we can't just blame other people, right? It doesn't mean that they didn't do anything wrong or we weren't mistreated or some disappointment came or conflict or whatever it is. But it's about you and I knowing what's best, surrendering to what's best. That's always a big challenge, isn't it? Because I think we'd like to do some things differently than the way God maybe teaches or calls us or tells us to do. And then, of course, that surrender that happens inside to what is best has to move towards action, right? And so I'll talk with you a little bit this morning about that. You and I, and please understand this, when I say some of these things this morning, it's not that I'm standing here in judgment of you, really. These words are for me, too. And it's not in judgment of us, it's just, I know humanity fairly well because I am one, right? And you're sitting next to one, and you are one. And so we understand, you know, when you're around a while, you understand how things start to work inside your uniqueness, the way you process things, the way you feel, the way you think, your history, all of that. And that has impact on us. But none of that should have greater impact, a more powerful impact than the impact of Jesus Christ on the cross, making a way, raising again, making a way for us, and his impact in our life. It is greater than your past. He's greater than your past. Tell somebody that. He's greater than your past. Tell them. He's greater than your past. So you and I, our confession should be that he is greater than my past and what happened, and I need to quit exalting the other things as if they are more powerful than him. I think there are many times in our life, over whatever the scenario is in our life, I think there's a time where we need to just put our ego aside. Put our ego aside and put our best interest as the highest priority. And now when I say our best interest, that's not out of selfishness. It's out of what really in whatever's happening in my life is going to be best for me. And God's opinion is what matters. His opinion, his word. And you and I have to come to a place where we're going to put our ego aside and surrender to what his interest is in us. What is the best thing for us? Right, to develop as a person, to continue to be transformed, to become more like him, the healthy relationship with ourself, with others. What is best Knowing what's best, surrendering to what is best, and surrendering to what is best is not always the way that we feel or the way that we come to some decision. We deduce from something, and then we respond accordingly to it, rather than knowing what's best, surrendering to what's best, and then doing what's best, rather than doing what maybe we think is best. I want you to listen to a couple of scripture verses so that we can think clearly about this. We can remember from a foundation of the truth that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Love is not just an affection for God. That's important, the feeling, the affection, but the love of God. You have to remember that, you know, we look at ourselves and we look at our failures and we might question God's love, or I don't deserve it, or other people deserve it more, or, you know, we start going through all of that stuff. And that kind of talk, I want you to know, is not knowing what is best. Knowing what is best is knowing what God has to say, what he has said, and that those things have not changed. Paul writes it this way: God will work all things out for your good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. I'm not trying to cut it short, but he will work things out for our good, for those who love him. It's not just the affection that you have for God. It's not just worship and having a tear. I mean, those things are fantastic. In those moments where we feel his nearness, we sense his nearness, and we're just really moved upon. Yeah, I want you to remember that Jesus said this in John 14. He said this: if you love me, you will obey me. Those of you who are parents, you just put it in this context, because even if you're not, you'll still grasp this idea. For your kid to come and say, oh, I just love you, Dad, Mom, I love you. Oh, thanks for everything. I love you. Oh, you're so special to me. I'm glad you're my parents. All these wonderful, affectionate words that I'm sure all of you parents hear all the time. And yet your kid goes out and they don't listen to what you instruct them. They don't obey it. They don't honor it. Now, we all fail from time to time. But how well are you going to continue to receive the praise and affection of your child when the only thing they do is not listen to you? All of a sudden, those words, those nice words that we started out treasuring, they mean nothing. They don't mean much to us anymore. Because if they really loved me, they would listen to what I have to say. And they would follow what I instruct. Now, are they going to make some mistakes? Are they going to veer from it? Yeah, they're flawed like us, their parents. But in a general following along and in a general sense of I love you, there's an obedience that comes. And Jesus said to his disciples, and he shares it with us, that we glean from this, okay? And he says to them, listen, if you love me, it'll be proven by how you obey me. You can look in the Old Testament. The prophets, the Lord gave the prophets words, and they would come back and say, listen, you serve me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. There's no obedience. You bring me praise and you make sacrifices, but you don't obey me. You don't know me. You don't follow my ways, my instructions. You go through some motions and you say some words, but your life and the way you live is far from what is best. You don't surrender to what is best, and therefore you don't do what is best. All of us are challenged with this in our life, and you don't have to wait till adulthood to experience this process and these things that challenge us. You know, there are all kinds of examples that we can use in life. I mean, they're just numerous. It's like, let me talk to you in this way. There's a group that gets together, I don't know, from this church. They get together and you found out about the event and you weren't invited. And you were hurt by that. To the point that maybe you were offended. And kind of builds up and festers in you. Now, Scripture would probably lead you in a different direction than harboring, resentment, anger, right? All the stuff that we can open ourselves up to when something like this happens that wasn't even intentional, but you took it as if it was intentional. And you carry that with you. And then after a while, you say, you know what? I'm just going to go to another church. Okay? And I want you to know, there's a time to go from one church to another church. I believe that's acceptable. I think there's times for that, and that's not what I'm going into. What I'm going into is the heart in here, knowing what's best, surrendering to what's best, and then doing what's best. And if we allow that, we open the door for those things to be at work in us. I want you to know that you are no longer, if you respond negatively to those things, I want you to know that you end up hurting yourself. You're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to, you know, think what's best for you. But in all actuality, you're just going to take all of that with you into your life, the next place, whatever else. And them inviting you to something isn't going to resolve what you're carrying with you from before. And we, at that point, are hanging on to our ego rather than doing and embracing our best interest. Our best interest might play out something like this. Okay? You go to the group or somebody in the group and say, hey, next time, you know, you guys do something like this, boy, put me on the call list or send me a message. I'd love to come and be a part of this. In fact, you know, if you need me to bring a couple cases of, you know, soda with or need to bring some bags of chips, I'm glad to do that. I'd just love to be able to participate and hang out with you. See, that sounds a little more like somebody who's not going to hurt themselves long term. They are putting what is healthy and what is best, their interest in who they are and who they're going to become and how they're going to live and the attitude that they're going to embrace over their ego. It's easy for us to just default to the ego, right? And this, and I could use any scenario in your life. You could. This isn't about me worrying or concerned that, you know, you weren't invited somewhere and you're going to leave the church. That's. I'm sorry. I'm just not worried or concerned about that. I'm more concerned about what goes on in the heart of the person, because the person is what matters. And I want us to abandon the ego and embrace our best interest. What is good for me? it is not good for me to make that decision, though my flesh wants to, or my attitude might be, well, I'm going to show them. You know, I'm going to show them I'm going to leave. Hey. That, most likely, that does not hurt them. You have to remember, you weren't invited to begin with. Now, I'm not being harsh, but it's like we work through that. I'm going to show them. And you leave and you take all your hurt with you. And then you can go complain about it to some other place or some other people. And we just start stacking up all this stuff on the ego side. And we abandon ourselves and our best interest. God has his best interest for in you. He wants what's best for you. Listen to this. He wants what's best for you. To grow as a person, develop as a person, all of those things. You know, when we have an attitude that we pick up somewhere, we allow to come in here, it leads us to really detrimental conduct. James talks about it, about conceiving something first, and then you go through the process, then sin is full grown, right? It gives birth to sin. So we've got to stop at the conception point. That's an internal work. You and I have to stand guard with this. We can't just blame somebody else. We haven't embraced and protected our best interest in what God has for us, and knowing what is true, surrendering to what is best, right? And then actually doing it, which will most of the time always be in conflict with our ego and our flesh. It hinders our growth and our place in the kingdom of good influence. Jesus talks about it. Talks about it in Matthew 7. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You and I, it is so much easier not to allow the bad seed to ever be planted than have to deal with the bad tree growing and being fruitful and bearing bad fruit. Jesus talks about a good tree is going to bear good fruit. When we feel the pressure of circumstance, offense, hurt, whatever it is, and the battle comes to, do I really know what's best? Am I going to surrender to what's best? And then am I going to really do what's best? When we're under the pressure, okay, I want you to hear this. What comes out of us when we are pressed is really who we are. It's not who floats across the parking lot on Sunday morning of that church. Come on, children, let's hold hands. We're going to float across the church parking lot. What a family. Look at that family. No, it's when we're pressed and what comes out of us is who we really are. Have you ever used a manual hand juicer? Ever used one of those? Yeah, you're like, yeah. Do you even know what that is? Okay. Because everything today is pretty much automated, right? You put your orange on the juicer the night before, and then when you wake out of bed, you probably pull up your phone app and go, it's juicing right now for me. You know, I don't, maybe there's that kind of thing. I don't know, but I can see. So manual hand juicer, it's, you know, like one of those dishes, and it's got this little knob thing, and you have to cut the orange in half, and you put it on top of there, and you're pressing it, and you twisting it, and you're, yeah, okay. And then the juice comes out. And it's like, it looks like an orange, but until I taste it, Bill, right? Because I've had some lemon kind of hybrid thing that kind of looked like an orange, and I really wasn't sure which one it was, to be honest with you. Maybe you've never had that problem. I know. You're much brighter than I am. But anyhow, and then you taste it, and it's like, yeah, that that's an orange, right? You and I, we can call ourselves Christian and float across the parking lot. But when the press comes, something in life contests our title as Christian. And life manually puts us on the juicer. What comes out? What do we taste like? Do we taste like the title? Do we taste like we look? Or is it something different? You see, when we know what's best, but we don't surrender to what's best, we don't do what's best, the title doesn't match the contents. And we abandon God's ways, God's voice, His direction in our life. I want to suggest this to you. Don't fall in love with your own ideas. Don't fall in love with your own voice. It's not that you can't have a good idea, and it's not that your voice doesn't sound maybe nice. But don't fall in love with your ideas, and don't fall in love with your voice. Fall in love with God's word and His ideas. Fall in love with His ways so that you know what is best. And you and I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, can die to ourselves, and He will help us live unto Him, and that we will surrender to what is best. Right? And then it produces the conduct and action, because the internal work of the attitude of surrendering to His ways and His word and His voice that we love, it will produce this conduct of what is best. Maybe, I don't know, maybe your wife and you are having trouble, marital trouble. It just doesn't seem to get better. And you take it like she doesn't really care if you're around. And it can go the other way, his or her. I'm just using this side of the He's on this side of the fence. And you have a feeling that she doesn't love you, and you say you tried, and however you want to build that in your mind. And you think, you know, we're Christians, but I'm just so lonely. I'm so disappointed. How long do I have to put up with this? Doesn't God want me happy? What a phrase. And all of a sudden, we start coming up with an idea. And then you start to build a online profile on some dating, chatting site or whatever they are. Nothing will ever happen. I'm just, you know, and it's starting to feed you. Starts to take root a little bit. Working through some guilt, but somehow it brings you an emotional charge that you just don't have at home, that you just tried for so long. See, that's your idea. You know that's not best. You don't need some big major conviction of the Holy Spirit to tell you that's not right, that's not best. I'm telling you, don't fall in love with your ideas. There's going to be a lot of voices out there telling you what to do. I want to tell you something that you and I need to be careful to avoid deluded distractions of the voices and philosophies and the latest thing, and somebody wrote this, therefore, you know, they're a doctor, and then it's got to be true, and it was a psychologist. And I'm not belittling like they don't have any truth. But when we start to take and manipulate that to form into our idea to justify what now our idea is best, we're going to run into trouble. Because we know it is not what God says and what's best. And your fantasy life starts to take off. And it will start to take more and more action through time. I want us to stick to what we know is best, surrender to what's best. Do what's best. You might have a friend or two that maybe feeds your side of whatever story you want to give them. It's the story you're giving them. It's your side of the story. And you throw in a couple of phrases that, you know, you say that so you don't look like it's totally 100% the other person's fault. You throw in a little bit of fake honesty. Now you have a camp around you, and yeah, I want you to remember. If you haven't read the Bible and don't know the Old Testament and the man of Job, it's okay. You'll still get the point. But you know, Job, here he is. He's suffering, and three friends come to see him in his misery. And the motive was started out, it looked really good, like they were going to come and bring some kind of comfort to Job. And all it does is when you read through it, it starts to turn into faulty logic from the friends to Job. It turns into faulty logic, it turns into accusations, and all of a sudden it starts to get harsh. They start to get hurt. It just starts to evolve as they visit him and come and visit him and they come and sit with him and they talk with him. One of the best things they did when they started was just come and sit with him and be silent. And then they started to open their mouth, became harmful. In the very end, God judges those three friends. God takes care of it. Because Job held to God's word and to his promise in God. And was it tested? Absolutely. You see, I want you to remember this, because there's always going to be voices, and even voice within you. Jesus says this, "My sheep know my voice." My voice. What's best? It's right here. And what the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because he will never go against this. And he will confirm his word along the way. But the more you know him and close the gap between you and him on a consistent basis, you start to, and you read this, you start to learn how God does things God's way. You start to recognize his voice. You recognize the leading of his spirit. You're not just walking around in Christendom, believing in Jesus as your Savior, and never developing and growing and embracing what is best, surrendering to what is best, and then doing what is best. We fall in love with our ideas. We fall in love with our voice. We need to know his voice. Why don't you stand up, please? This is not new. It's something that I probably said many years ago. If I didn't, I meant to. Don't wait to be pressed and challenged and tested with something before you try to put on character. Learn and know what's best. Surrender to what's best. And do what's best. If you and I do that in our life, if that becomes our agenda, our practice, when the press comes, the challenge comes, the difficulty comes, and you're squeezed, the character that he has been helping you with is what will ooze out of you. Not the oozing of unrighteous anger that you and I think we can carry out, because after all, we're innocent, and I think this is what the judgment should be for whoever or somebody else or a group of people, and I want you to know that your anger never produces the righteous outcome that God desires. That's what the scripture says. That's what James says. You and I are going to get angry. We're not supposed to sin in our anger. And you and I can think we have it all figured out from where we are. Don't fall in love with your idea. Don't fall in love with your voice that you've been listening to in your thoughts and maybe even out loud in the mirror as you keep working over whatever scenario it is that you're going through. You and I can't wait to try to show up with character when the test comes. When we're manually being twisted to see what comes out. Your title and the contents of your life are supposed to match. The title and the contents of my life are supposed to match. Now, we're still all in the process. I'm still in the process. But I can't just wait till some challenge shows up and try to put on something that I'm not. You and I have to practice knowing what's best. Developing an attitude to not be in love with our idea and our voice, put our ego aside, and surrender to what we learn and know is best, and then step on the pedal and move and do what's best. I want you to think about some of these things. May God speak to my heart, your heart, where we need to maybe make some changes. We all get a little disappointed in ourselves from time to time. That's not a bad thing, but don't stay there, right? Don't stay there. So if there's something you need to abandon, some idea, something that's taken root somewhere in your attitude or in your private, sneaky part of your life, you think nobody watches. His eye runs to and fro over the earth looking for the righteous. Not those who are perfect, those who are righteous. And you and I are righteous by faith that changes our conduct to be good fruit. I want you to bow your head with me, please, all over this place. I'm just going to provide you just a few seconds here to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to ask you to help me. Where have I fallen in love with my ego? Where have I learned to trust my ego because I've gotten away with stuff in the past that looked pretty good? Truth of the matter is, some of that stuff that might look good to other people that you got away with because you persuaded and schemed and did some things. Well, don't trust that anymore. Father, I thank you for your word because it shows us, shows me, what's best. What's best? No matter the circumstance, situation, what I'm confronted with, your word always shows up. If I listen, if I learn, if I study in advance and in the emergency moments, you will always reveal your ways because you're for us. You're not against us. You're not interested in us coming to ruin. So just help us. And Lord, where we disobey and fall in love with our ideas or try to manipulate your word to confirm our way, and we come to some measure of ruin, I know you try to rescue us and speak to me along the path before being ruined. But Lord, sometimes us being ruined is the only way we seem to listen or learn. I know that you speak to us way before that. So if there's anybody here who feels like they're on the brink of ruin in some way over something, I also know that you know how to rescue when we turn to you. And you know how to forgive. And you know how to help us out. And you know how to bring the beauty out of ashes, even when we're the culprit of our own doing. So Lord, we want to be the living church. We want to learn and grow and know what's best. Inside where we think, our will, our mind, our soul, our feelings, we want to surrender to what's best so that we in turn can do what's best so that we can express our love to you by an obedient life and also that your goodness would shine, that others would see that light and be drawn to you. We want to be a vessel.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.